Hello to everyone. I'm a graduate student from Argentina, and I will give you a short presentation about my thesis project that is called Potential for Crop Production Increase in Argentina through Closure of Existing Yield Gaps. I think that this work is a very good example of how powerful crop simulation models are as a tool to answer specific questions. So, first of all, we need some definition. So, what is a yield gap? The yield gap is just the difference between two levels of yield. Depending on the objectives of the study, different yield gaps are relevant. For example, in our study, we focus in the difference between the water-limited yield and the actual yield. If I can, the water-limited yield is very similar to the yield potential, but also limited by water supply. So, this is important. The utmost reduction that in the yield gap may come to 20%, because a zero yield gap is very unlikely to be reached, because farmers want to maximize profit and minimize risk at the whole farm scale, rather than to maximize profit of an individual crop. So, let's talk about current Argentine agriculture. In the last 20 years, Argentine agriculture has experienced huge changes in land use and technology adoption. Now, more than 80% of the area is under no-till, and almost all the soybean and the maize crop are transgenic crops. Argentine agriculture is turning into soybean monoculture, as you can see in this figure in the left. The soybean crop area has soybean crop area has increased during the last 40 years and has increased a lot since the introduction of the first transgenic crop, the soybean runner ready, that combined with no-till has has led to a reduction in the cost, so it has changed a lot Argentine agriculture. On the other hand, farmer yields have significantly increased during the last 40 years as well, as you can see here. In fact, Argentina is one of the few countries that has a rate of yield increase sufficient to double its crop production to 2050. This is a work from Ray and collaborators. Argentina has rate of increase of 162 kilos per hectare per year of maize, and well, so these are the other values, and they are very high. So the question is, how much further can Argentine crop production be increased? To answer this question, we need to know the different sources of growth in crop production. These sources are arable land expansion, increasing crop intensity, and yield increase. Previous work have deeply analyzed the first three of them. Have analyzed the arable land expansion that could be achieved in Argentina, but that is not desired. Have reviewed the increase in crop intensity, how much can be increased crop intensity that in template areas is very limited. And there is a work that has analyzed the potential to increase potential yield progress in Argentina. So, we tackle the remaining question, which is the potential for crop production increase through closing the yield gaps. This work is part of the Global Yield Atlas project, and our results are open source and available at that web page. So, how have we estimated the yield gaps? First, we divided the country in agroclimatic zones. Then we choose reference weather stations, and we define buffer zones of 100 hydrometer around each one in order to cover 50% of the crop area with the buffer zone selected. At each buffer zone, we estimated the water limited yield using the previously calibrated crop simulation model embedded in this SAM 4.5. The actual yield was calculated using district official data from the Argentina Agricultural Ministry. Then, all the estimations were upscaled, considering the crop area of each buffer zone, how it contributes to the total crop area. Okay, now I will show you some results. This is one of our outcomes, this one. Here I want to show you the high agreement we obtained between the national actual yield obtained by our upscaling method and the national actual yield reported from the Agricultural Ministry, considering that we only used more around 50% of the crop area. This map shows the buffer zones that we choose, and these are the agroclimatic zones. This is how looks a map of yield gaps. These are the results we obtained for maize. You can see here the agroclimatic zones that are the hatch area, and each pie chart is a buffer zone. And for example, here the number indicates the water limited yield at each that buffer zone. The white sector is the yield gap, and the gray sector is the actual yield. So this buffer zone. This buffer zone has a yield gap of around 25%, and at the other end, there are a yield gap here of around 70%. There is a lot of information to analyze here, and I don't have time to analyze it in this presentation, and there are results for soybean and wheat too. And if you want, you can read it from my paper when it's published, hopefully at the beginning of next year. So now I will show you the national estimations, the results after we have scaled all the values. This is the Argentina actual yields, this is the water limited yields, and these are the yield gaps. This is soybean, wheat, and maize. We found a lower yield gap in soybean than in wheat and maize. Here you can see the actual crop production of Argentina of the last years, and this is the crop production that could be achieved if all the farmers reach 80% of the water limited yield. That is an estimation of the attainable yield. This difference, these are megatons, and for example for maize, this difference, these 11 megatons, represents around 10% of the world international trade. So that's a lot. So, rounding up, some conclusions. Soybean yield gaps are lower than maize and wheat yield gaps. This is because of the nitrogen fixation of soybean, that is, more of the maize and wheat crops in Argentina can be limited by nitrogen, but obviously not soybean. And the soybean crop has a low production cost, as I said, so it results in lower technology gap among farmers. Argentine crops have intermediate yield gaps. We found yield gaps of around 30-40%. That is higher than the gaps that were found for Europe or for here the United States, that are around 20%, but they are not as high as the gaps that were found for some places of Africa that are around 80%. But we found high variability among regions. We found places that has yield gaps of 25-30%, and we found places with yield gaps of more than 70%. So that makes of Argentina a very interesting case of study for analyzing the causes of the yield gaps. And we can conclude that point-based crop modeling using actual data for weather, soils, and crop management, combined with an appropriate upscaling method, has demonstrated to be successful for large-scale yield gap analysis. And we know that understanding the causes of the yield gaps is a complex issue that needs a multifactorial approach based on good field-level data and supported by simulation tools. And these causes are our next objective, understanding these causes. So, finally, I want to thank all the people who advised me and helped me with this work. That they are all. And I want to thank Monsanto for giving me the opportunity to be here, and thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Any questions?
How did you source your management data for the model? Like, how did you derive management
parameters? We interview or ask for different experts at different at each region. We have like, I work at INTA, that is a national institution of technology in agronomy, something like that. And we ask for different people from INTA for the other regions. We also ask extensionists and other researchers. We try to simulate the same management that are used by farmers at each region.
You showed a graph of yields increasing over time.
Yes.
Do you attribute those increases to technology improvements or decreases in the yield gap?
That's a very good question. We have some evidence that yield potential has risen in Argentina for unless for mice at a similar rate than the actual yield. For example, we have 160 kilograms per hectare per year in actual yield, and yield potential is about 130-140. There is another research in our group that is studying that. So, in absolute terms, the yield gap has not been narrowing, but if we consider as percentage of the yield potential, when you have higher values, that gap is less significant. I don't know if you understand. For example, if the yield gap is always, I don't know, 3 tons, if the yield potential is 6 tons, it's 50%, and if the yield potential is 12 tons, it's just 25%, I think.
So
I think that is it's more related to an increase in yield potential, but you need management practices to translate that increase in yield potential in more yield, more actual yield.
Okay, 'cause one way to test that would be to try to simulate
different hybrids.
Which would account for climatic variation over that time as well. Would you be able to detect a different change?
Yes, there is some evidence that at least temperature and precipitation has not significantly changed in the last 20 years in Argentina. There is a big change from 1970 to 1980, but then after 1980s, climate has stayed fairly constant.
Thank you very much.